We're still here at the AFN Annual General Assembly in Quebec City, and now we're joined by John Kimbell. John, welcome to Nation Talk.
Good morning, Frank.
What brings you to Quebec City, and what are you looking to find here at the AFN?
Well, I work with a number of chiefs across the country on advancing their political, social, and economic issues. And, of course, I'm here seeking opportunities in the energy industry for my company, Brookfield Renewable Power. And I'm working with some of the Ontario chiefs on the acquisition of a transmission line in Ontario. And I'm doing that in my role as intervener. I'm an intervener on behalf of Phil Fontaine and Ontario's Integrated Power Systems Plan. And I'm also talking to the Crees of Northern Quebec. We're trying to cement a relationship with them, and all of this is going very, very well. And, of course, there's just a variety of other important issues that are being discussed here today, treaties, languages, and, of course, economic development, which is going to be so fundamental to our ability to move forward and to improve the lives of our many communities.
You're in the trade show component, so you're seeing a lot of Aboriginal businesses here. I understand it's actually one of their largest participations ever. You're probably an old stalwart here. How do you find it?
This is a place to be for First Nations. This is the major meeting place. Actually, this is a small one compared to the one that will happen during the election there. Next year, when there's the national election, everyone will show up. This is sort of not quite as well attended as they usually are, but the election years are the ones where everybody shows up just to, you know, cast their vote, and that'll be next summer.
How are you finding the some of the resolutions? You brought up the language issue. I also noted that, and I think that's pretty important for a lot of folks.
Well, language is the foundation of culture. It's the principal defining of a culture. I think all the resolutions are very important. The problem with the resolutions is at the end of this three-day period, there will be, 50, 60 resolutions. But in the passing of the resolution, there's never an allocation of money. Will all the First Nations put money into the resolution? That really makes it real, because without the money and without an organization to lead and develop the resolution, they generally fall by the wayside. I was at a recent Chiefs of Ontario meeting just about a month ago, and there's a million resolutions that get passed. None of them ever really come to fruition because there's no money behind them. And so I think it's important we have them. This is a legitimate and valid process. It reflects what the First Nations are thinking, what's important. I think the next step in our development is to understand that really maybe we should only be passing one or two or three resolutions, and each First Nation has to put $10,000 into their development, because without that we have nothing.
You've been a big supporter of self-government, self-reliance. We're still hearing a lot about that today.
Oh, absolutely. Self-reliance and self-government, it's where it's at. In the motions put forward today by Chief Isidore Day and seconded by Chief Patrick Madabi, this has never changed. It's just really heating up that the fundamental relationship is between the government of Canada as a nation and the First Nations as nations. And we've allowed the Interact to impose its tenets, which are in conflict with the intent and spirit of the treaties. And I think more than ever before, the First Nations are, in fact, embracing the idea of treaty renewal, treaty implementation, and they're getting tougher and smarter about going about it. But in the end, they're going to need a lot of money to forward that process. So I am very pleased and heartened to hear what they're saying, but they need organizers, they need fundraisers, they need to have a grand plan. That's a business plan, not a plan of idealism, but a business plan. Let's dissect the steps forward. Let's figure out what they cost. Let's figure out the smartest people to bring this into realization, and that's what is going to be required to see any progress on the issue.
We're at the stage where knowledge is power.
Knowledge, education is knowledge. Knowledge is power, and power can take you places. Power opens up the doors, and so you're absolutely right.
It's going to be an exciting time over the next few years, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're getting more organized as a people, and more of our kids are receiving a good education. We've always been very insular, and what we have to look out and see, well, gee, what's happening in other countries? What's the federal government doing on a variety of issues? We're becoming more aware, and we need to become more aware of the economy, of the national economy and the international economies, the trends in the economy, what our role in the economy is going to be, where we can play a strategic role. We have to study that, because at the end of the day, the implementation of the treaty is really all about wealth creation. It's about, of course, independence and our right to govern ourselves, but what's that without an economic base? You have to have money, you have to have businesses to support self-government, to support your independence, and that's what it's all about. So we're on the right track. We need to accelerate the practical stuff about how to achieve the treaties and achieve self-reliance.
It's exciting to hear the drums and the traditional singing in the background.
Sure, it's both worlds. It's the pure and ancient culture that has survived. The attempts of assimilation have not worked. And the ancient cultural expressions, such as the drumming and singing, are reminders that we are distinct and that we are moving forward as distinct people. And it helps to reinforce our position that this is a nation-to-nation debate, a nation-to-nation negotiation.
John, thank you very much for joining Nation Talk.
Thanks, Frank.